So, Hoser, have you ever been to a drive-thru? Is that... drive-thru. Listen to me. Drive-in. Excuse
dude,
me.
Dude, I live at the drive-thru.
Good day and good gaming, Retro Junkies, and welcome to another episode of the Retro Junkies Super Show. I am your host, Rob, and join with me, as always, is my main man, my partner in retro gaming crime, Mr. Landon Long. How are you, Hosehead?
Hey, man, doing good. Just excited about today's episode. This is going to be a good one, I think. Already, even before we were on the air, we were having fun with this.
Yeah, we've already talked, Landon already probably knows how I feel about this film, which is super excited because I'm so grateful, Landon, you came up with this topic. Now, if you remember, it's been over a month now, I guess, since the last episode. And
yeah.
I know. Sorry. We're sorry.
No,
about
I'm not today. Blaming you. I'm just saying it's summer vacation. We get some leeway.
Oh, yeah. We've had a lot going on. But for those of you who remember the last couple minutes of that episode, we talked about what we were going to cover next. And Landon decided, hey, why not do like a cheesy horror movie that would be great for a drive-in? Just old Joe Bob Briggs style or Monster Vision style. You know, just talk about a movie that's so bad that it might even be good. So wait for our prediction on that. But today we're talking about Slumber Party Massacre 2?
Slumber Party Massacre 2. Yeah, that means that there was one before it.
That's right, which I have not seen, so you'll have to bring me up to speed.
I'll bring you up to speed. The one before it is a little bit more serious tone, honestly.
It's good. Because this one, not so serious, but somehow maybe it worked. I don't know. We'll find out.
It was the 80s. I mean, people were trying all kinds of experimental entertainment, you know, things. So
yeah, absolutely. Speaking of which, you know, quick tangent. Did you see that they made a 20 years after video of Slumber Party Massacre 2?
No, I didn't. I hadn't seen that.
Oh, it's pretty good. It wasn't the whole cast, but it was about half of the cast. They talked about it. And there was some really funny trivia that I'll bring up here in a little bit.
Look at you.
That's what I bring to the table.
You found a new franchise that you like now.
I kind of like... I'll save my review.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I've been reading online through the schlocky movie blogs and videos I watch that one of the major studios is wanting to pick that up and make it into like a series and reboot it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, the Driller Killer. That ought to be interesting.
Yeah, the Driller Killer, dude. He in the first one, he was no joke.
Well, you think about it. Ooh, a drill? Oh, what a way to go. But on that note, Hosehead, before we get into the movie, man, it's been, like I said, about a month, maybe a month and a half since we've officially recorded. So how have you been doing, man? What have you been up to life lately, and have you been up to anything retro lately?
Oh, man. Let's see. Broke out the PlayStation Mini, the modded one that you and I played on with Black Bass and Blue Marlin.
Oh, yeah.
But I started playing Gran Turismo 2 on it again and got really into that game. And I figured out how to put old school emulators on it. So now I've got, like, the Super Nintendo library, the Sega Genesis, the Nintendo, the TurboGrafx, some CD-based. I'm still working on trying to get those to function. But I've been playing the Fire Pro games in general lately. Those stinking games were so far ahead of their time. Oh, my gosh, they were so far ahead of their time.
But, yeah, I think they're... I love those games when I play them. It's one of those games that, like, it's not your average button masher wrestling game.
No, and that's what makes it fun.
Right. You have to learn the moves, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of time to figure out the timing, because I didn't put in a lot of time in those games, and I would get easily frustrated, but like, I don't know how to do this, and then I would put it down. But I think it's one of those games, the more you play it, the more you get a rhythm for it, and there's so many options that you can do in those games. I think if I were to spend time, I would love the Fire Pro games.
The matches progress like a normal match. Like, you don't see guys, I mean, I don't know about now, but back when we used to watch wrestling hardcore, you know, you wouldn't see guys just starting out with like power bomb, you know, off the top rope splash. If you try that in Fire Pro, it's going to get reversed on you every time you try to do something. And that's the cool thing. The matches kind of build up. You know, you have to do strikes and kicks and, you know, Irish whips and rope and turnbuckle moves. You know, you kind of have like an easy, medium, and hard attack. And then I think in some of them you can hit a combination of like medium and hard or medium and easy, and it does like a finishing move.
Ah.
But you can't just like start out, you know, suplexing the guy. You have to kind of, you know, punch him, kick him, you know, give him a couple of quick body slams, and then you can start working your way up to the harder, the more, I guess, painful moves. Not the harder moves, but more painful.
Yeah. So, is there a Fire Pro game that's a little bit suited more for, or what? I guess, what would be the best Fire Pro game for a beginner to start with?
Probably for a beginner, you could do Fire Pro Wrestling World. It's the newest. They have it on PC. I want to say they had it on PS4 and the Xbox. I don't know what Xbox number they're up to right now, but the most recent Xbox. And it was just kind of like, here's a couple of wrestlers. Everything else you do, you make. You make the title belts, you make the organizations, you make the wrestlers, you make the stables. You determine if they're a good guy or a bad guy. You can create the referees. You can customize referees in that, which blows my mind. You can have referees that do fast three counts. referees that, like, when you put a guy in a submission move, they ask him if he wants to give up, like, one time, and then they call it for submission.
We're calling
you can
it.
Have referees with, like, slow outside counts or fast outside counts. I mean, it's really cool how you can customize everything.
Ah, man. Like I said, they seem like a lot of fun. And it's one of those games it's going to take some time to dive into.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else I've played. Other than Gran Turismo and Fire Pro, we played Super Monkey Ball and Mario Kart Double Dash. That was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yes, we did. So, excellent transition, because that was the first thing I was going to talk about is about a week ago, I was blessed to have a lot of the Retro Junkies. It was basically a Retro Junkies reunion. We were just missing Aaron Hickman and Justin Harrell. But we had Landon there. This is at my place in Knoxville. Landon showed up. My good buddy Josh Witt and his wife Stacy, they came all the way from Ohio to just visit for a couple of days. And they came up, and then Michael Kelso from Two Dudes and a Nest came up, and Nick Stevens from Genesis Gems came up. It was an absolute blast. I had so much fun. Oh, and even my neighbor, Eric, got to come up for about an hour and hang with us for a little bit. So
he was really good at Monkey Ball.
He's good at every video game. He's one of the smartest people I know, and just naturally can pick up a game and just be good at it. But, man, Oh, and my good buddy Kirkland, he came up, and I'm so glad that you finally got to meet him. He's my co-host from Turtle Tales Radio, but also an extremely close friend, just like you, Lando.
He's a good guy. I liked him. Like, me and him were doing, we were doing Simpsons references at each other the whole time, just like having a ball.
Yeah, that was the first time I think I've hung out with him since COVID and everything, and it was so special for me personally for him to meet you all and for us all to be under the same roof. It was an absolute blast. We all huddled we grilled out some burgers, and then we piled up into the garage and played Monkey Ball, and I had an emulator on my GameCube, and we played Mario Kart Double Dash, like you said, and just had the best time, man. I took
Road
some pictures.
Rash. Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 2 was fun, even though, tell you, Josh, he laid the smackdown on everybody.
He did. I was terrible at every game. Oh, well, actually, except for NHL 94, just throwing that out there.
Well, you did win that, but you cheated.
So. Oh, yeah, we had such a good time. So I just want to publicly thank them again for... oh, look, just got a text from Josh right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
It just came through.
Man, look at that. Look, live on the show, it's from Josh Witt. So, yeah, I just want to publicly thank everybody for coming in. It was a dream come true. And I took a picture because I was like, I don't know if this is ever going to happen again at my house like this. So I just wanted to document this special, special moment. And it was just fun to have the whole Junkies together again, you know?
Yeah, that was a good time, man. We ate some great food and chilled out. Got to watch Michael and Nick have a good time at each other's expense. Yeah. That's always fun.
Oh, do we want to mention on air what they ate?
No, man. I want Michael and Nick to make Patreon money off of what they ate.
Yes, that'd be good.
Because I want them to charge, just like, what did Kelso eat?
Yeah.
You know, join X tier of the Patreon and you can find out.
Unfortunately, there's no pictures because he specifically asked that we wouldn't take pictures of
That's
what
true.
He ate. So.
He didn't want any photographic evidence of it.
No. He's very private about it. But he did do something that, well, I'll just leave it at that. So, but yeah, it was such a great, great time.
He brought some great cookies, though.
Yes, he did. From Hammond. What was it? Hammond Cookie? Or
Hammond Goodies.
Hammond Goodies, yes. Man, Hammond Cookie.
Hammond Cookie.
Well, what's a cookie? I don't know.
That was going to be the name for the show before the record. Monkey's Adventures of Hammond Cookie. I was going to be Cookie, and you could be Ham.
I could be Ham? Okay, that sounds good. First we're salty, then we're sweet.
That's right, yeah.
That sounded weird.
Salty and sweet game reviews.
That's it.
Ham hates everything, but Cookie gives it a chance.
He does. Yeah, you're the nice one.
you can be the grumpy one.
That's right. So, what else? I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I listened to Genesis Gems recently and Two Dudes in an S. They had a wonderful episode on
Captain Skyhawk.
Skyhawk. Yes, Captain Skyhawk, which I never played, but I had seen it in a lot of game stores. Always thought about picking it up for whatever reason I didn't.
You can't find it around Knoxville now. Every copy's been bought because of that show. You know, yeah. I went to McKay's looking for it. Lo and behold, Josh and Nick bought every copy.
They bought every copy, apparently, yeah. And it was great because Michael's wife, Amber, came on the show. It was a really, really fun episode. Guys, got to go listen to that episode. It's awesome. Again, that's Two Dudes in a Nest. Old buddies of the Retro Junkies Network. And obviously, Michael and another thing, big slice of pizza out to Michael for giving me his old piano. He did not want it. He's like, dude, take it. He would not take any money for it. I offered a million times. That was so nice of him. Super generous. And I've been playing at least about an hour a day every day since I've gotten it. I love it. I've learned the major chords. I'm learning. The different thing about piano is that has been a struggle for me is I'm used to playing guitar where basically you're holding the strings down on one hand. Where piano, on the other hand, what you hear a lot of piano players do is play the chords on both hands. So you're playing a C in a lower key and a C in a higher key or something like that, which is hard for me because that's a lot of finger placements there that it's hard to memorize, but I've learned where the keys are. I know how to find a C and, you know, work your way all the way up to G.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you know where middle C's at?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good man.
So it's been a lot of fun. I'm rambling, but it really was a great time with the old Retro Junkies crew. Again, I just want to publicly thank them for such a good time and coming all that way just to see us hosers. Yeah, and you too, man. You drove about 2 hours to come all the way over here.
I had a good time, though. Like, it was good. It's like me and Nick were saying, you know, we were just happy to be out of the house and actually get to see people.
Yeah, I know. With COVID and everything, it's tough to even get out and do things these days. So, yeah, it was a very, very special time.
That was a good time, man. I'd love to do it again. We need to have, like, annual get-togethers, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to go up there and see Nick Stevens one day.
I know. I'll ride with you.
Yeah, he's come down here 3 times, and I'd love to go out there and at least see him, in the next year or two. That'd be awesome.
Go up there and catch the Mothman.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, let's see, Josh Witt. Okay, he surprised me with an AV adapter for my Sega Genesis, and some kind of adapter that transfers the AV quality to like a composite and almost HD, picture quality for my Sega Genesis. And it looks great. It's so much better looking than the RF adapter that I had before. So I've been enjoying my Sega that way. And also he was generous enough to get me this little, it's a Sega Genesis cart with an SD emulator attached to it.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I got a Super Nintendo cart like that.
Oh, it's awesome, man. Yeah. I'd love to get an SNES one too. But yeah, I was checking it out. It's got all the Sega Genesis games on it. It's got several of the Japanese-only releases. And it's got some of the Master System games on it. I don't know how many, but there's hundreds of games on there. So, as a matter of fact, I played yesterday. Grayson loves Road Rash, so we've been playing some Road Rash together.
Man, he was pretty good. He did really good in that one race. place.
Oh, I know. Yeah, since the last time we talked, he got Mario Kart 8, and he has been having a ball with that.
Dude, it was so funny. Nick's like, so you liking Mario Kart 8? Grayson didn't even look up. Who's your favorite driver? He just kept on going. Nick's like, oh, well, good talking to you.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Nick's talking to you. I gotta get on that rascal. He's like, oh, what?
And I looked at you, and I'm like, man, he's just like us.
Oh, he's so much like me, it scares me sometimes. And let's see, what else? Yeah, played some more Monkey Ball on the GameCube, and I'm still terrible at it.
It's okay. That game cheats. That game's cheap.
I know. It's hard.
I never hit the A button twice. Never. But it's like, oh, you hit the A button, you're dropping the ocean.
And then I played some Pole Position on the Vectrex, and the only other thing, and this was early in the summer, so I haven't played this in probably, gosh, I'd say at least a month, and I'm ashamed to admit that, but I was playing some Monkey Island on the PC and really enjoying that. And I was,
oh, that's a good one.
Oh, it's so fun. And I'm so surprised at how pretty that game is for, you know, a 1990 yeah. PC game. It's a gorgeous little game.
And the humor in it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of dad jokes in it.
Which I'm all about, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, with that, Hosehead, I think that's all I've been up to retro lately. What do you say we go grab some wings, eh? And let's pick up some wings at Stan's and go to his new drive-in. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
All right. Well, let's go.
Welcome to Hosevision on TRJ, a radio show where two hosers watch horror and science fiction films that are so furiously foul that they're ghoulishly good. So grab your popcorn and drinks, and maybe a few snow caps if you got them, and join us for another spectacularly special feature at Stan's Drive-In. If you dare.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, this place is kind of spooky. I don't know why I would put a drive-in here. What do you think, Jose?
I don't know. I mean, he had to have got the land from Steel because this place is too darn spooky to even be useful for anything other than a movie theater.
Yeah, no kid. Well, at least your radio works. We can do this drive-in right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm a little freaked out. Hey, Stan, why'd you pick this spooky place to have a drive-in, man?
I thought it would give the kids atmosphere, you know, get the blood to flowing.
Ugh. Okay. Well, I guess we'll get some wings, eh? What kind of wings are you going to get today, Jose?
Well, since we're doing spooky movies, I'm going to get ghost peppers.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Even though I probably won't be able to taste the beans at all.
Cuz they're not really there. They're a ghost.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey,
spooky.
Wait a minute. I thought I just bit this wing.
Yeah. Stan gives you an empty plate. Yeah, that's something he would do, too, to save money, eh?
Hey, Stan, this plate's empty.
Yeah, well, you wanted ghost pepper wings. You can't see ghosts.
Oh, you know, I'm trying to think of what else I could do for, like, a horror theme. How about hot wings, but we'll call them the hot sauce blood wings? I got nothing. I'm sorry.
You could do blood orange wings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what I should do? Oh, just a little reference to the movie we're going to be talking about. I want to get some barbecue coming out of the chicken wings. Remember the chicken scene?
Yes.
Where it's coming out of its head or something? Or is what yeah. his head should have been?
That whole movie
was. It is a weird movie, but yeah. So, yeah, guys, I guess first of all, Hosehead, before we get started talking about the main feature, again, for those of you who grew up watching Monster Vision, which is something I think Landon and I both watched, that was a...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
Joe
man.
Bob is the man.
He was. I did a little bit of research. It looked like Joe Bob, the show for Monster Vision on TNT, was around about 2 or 3 years before Joe Bob showed up, but it was a different narrator. They had, like, a moon character, which I'd never seen that version of Monster Vision. But then,
I don't remember that.
I don't either. But then Joe Bob came on in 96, which would be right around the time that I started getting into scary movies. And let me make this very clear. It's not like my parents went, here you go, kid. Have Friday the 13th, part 6. I trust you. No. It wasn't like that. It was, I think I was at my dad's house, And my dad had this habit of, he'd be watching TV, and he would fall asleep on the couch. And it was right around Halloween time, and I remember sleeping on the floor, and there was a hole in the cover where I was sleeping, and I looked through the hole, and I'm watching Monster Vision, which I knew I wasn't supposed to, and I saw my first Friday the 13th film, and I think it was actually either part 6 or part 7. I think it was A New Blood, which was part 7. And it was like right in the tail end of that big Friday the 13th marathon he was doing.
Dude, that Friday the 13th marathon he did was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's on YouTube, I think. You can still see it.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours long because it's all the cutaways, all the commercial cutaways.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it kind of tells a little, like a little horror story, too, is what really cool.
Oh, that's so cool. I mean,
of like the cast disappearing all around Joe Bob, but he's like the last one there.
Oh, cool. Cool. I got to watch it again. That's funny. But yeah, I just remember that was a life-changing event for me because I loved being scared. I had like a weird fascination with it. And I got really into the Goosebumps books after that.
Yes. Oh, man, Goosebumps was my jam.
Me too, man. I love Goosebumps. I remember all the books. I remember when the show came on and the made-for-TV movies. And yeah, I really got into scary stuff after this. But I have Monster Vision to blame for it because that was basically what started it all for me. And yeah, I mean, where did your horror movie kind of fascination come in?
My kind of horror movie slash what I call schlocky movies, which are movies that are just like B movies, but they're still kind of okay. It started with, and it started on another Turner network. It started on TBS with Dinner and a Movie.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Dinner in a Movie?
That's how I saw Star Wars for the first time.
They had a Godzilla double feature on one night. And
oh, cool.
My dad loved Godzilla movies. So I'll never forget, we were watching Dinner in a Movie, and I was really getting into this Godzilla movie. I think it was Godzilla versus Mothra, actually.
Ooh, I like that one.
Which is a good one. And they did the break, and they were doing some kind of like Godzilla themed dish. I don't know. I'll never forget. My dad looked at me and he's like, "Yeah, I could eat something." He's like, "What do you want to eat?" And I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "Well, come here. I'm gonna show you something." That was the first time I had a fried bologna sandwich and a fried spam sandwich while watching Godzilla. Now, I'm a huge fan of fried spam and fried bologna. Now, not together, but, you know, kind of on their own.
Yeah, right.
I love those sandwiches, and every time I eat one of those, I think of me sitting there in the floor while my dad was on the couch watching Godzilla. Well, fast forward, I was probably 4 or 5 at the time. Fast forward 6 more years to when Monster Vision came on. I had a room upstairs in our house, kind of to myself, and I had a TV, and I would just lay in bed and watch TV till I'd fall asleep. I'll never forget. The first Monster Vision I watched was Maximum Overdrive. And I thought, this is the craziest, dumbest movie ever. And Joe Bob would come on and give his opinions on it. And me being young, I still got the humor, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's great. He understands that, yes, this is a horrible movie, but it's still entertaining. And that's kind of how I felt about it. So I watched Joe Bob. I used to watch the USA on Saturday night. They used to have the Up All Night. And the USA Up All Night, they would show Child's Play a lot, and I wouldn't watch that movie. I hate that movie to this day. I can't stand that stinking movie.
Really? Really? I didn't know that about you. So you?
I hate those things. I hate dolls, period.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my gosh. I got a story about that. Quick tangent, but
Those are what got me interested in that. That and the fact that my grandma, who lived next door to us, she had Showtime, the movie channel, HBO. And I would go over to her place, and she was big into horror and murder mystery. And her and I watched a Mark Hamill movie that not a lot of people know about called The Giver, based on like a Japanese anime and comic.
Ooh, not heard of that one.
It was really good. It had aliens. It had Jimmy Walker as an alien that killed people. You know, instead of saying dynamite, he just killed them. So, you know, we had that. So, I think that liking movies like this runs in my blood from my grandma to my dad to me. Like, we just like old, scary, schlocky, so bad that they're good horror movies.
Well, I want to see a picture of, had somebody to draw a picture of Landon and your dad, the fried spam and bologna, watching just, you know, huddled around the TV watching Godzilla and Mothra. That to me is a great picture right there.
Dude, it was great, and I was just munching away on that fried spam and bologna. Wow, this is really good.
Now I have to try it. Now I have to watch a Godzilla movie while trying that, because I don't think I've ever had fried bologna.
You've never had fried bologna? Oh my gosh!
I'm not a big bologna guy. I just
fried bologna with melted cheese on it. Oh,
really?
It's a southern delicacy. Yes, but don't get. I mean, you can use packed bologna like normal bologna, but get like the deli bologna that's in the cube and cut it off and cut a slice of it off and fry it. Oh, it's so good! But be sure to poke holes in it or it'll bubble up. It'll deform the shape of the meat.
Well, there you got it, from Chef Landon right there.
That's right. So what was you going to say before I cut you off about the Child's Play movies?
Oh, no, you're fine, man. Let's see. Oh, okay, so listeners, if anyone out there had one of these, please email in. I'd love to hear from you, but I don't know if they were common in the late 80s or not, but I had have you ever heard of a My Buddy doll?
I have a story to tell about that. So finish yours up.
Well, it's not much of a story, but basically, I had a My Buddy doll, and, you know, he had, like, little suspenders, and this is before I knew anything whatsoever about Child's Play, and I think that I had seen the first Child's Play by accident a little bit later on, and the funny thing was with this My Buddy doll is he had one of those, like, retractable eyelids, or two of them.
Yeah,
so when you laid him down, his eyes were supposed to shut, and then when you sat him back up, his eyes would open. Well, for whatever reason, one eye would always stay open. It was like jammed up in the its head or something. And my mom had this habit of, you know, straightening up my room, and I had a chair in the corner of my room, and the My Buddy doll would sit on top of the chair. So imagine that as a kid, you wake up and you got this doll staring at you from your bed.
With
one eye open. Oh, it's terrifying. And then I saw Child's Play. I was like, I got to get rid of this. So eventually, I think I asked Mom to throw it away. I can't really remember what happened after that, but that doll freaked me out.
Oh, my gosh. So, my story about My Buddy. I'd seen parts of the Child's Play movies. I got really freaked out by My Buddy doll. So, I went up to the woods by our house and dug like a 3-foot hole. And I got a knife, and I cut its head off and buried the body in the hole. And then I buried the head away from it, thinking it was like Dracula or something. So up in the woods behind our house, there is a grave with a My Buddy doll body in it, and the head is somewhere else.
Oh, that's so... Can you imagine? Somebody's going to dig that up years from now. Like, oh my gosh, that's a head!
Yeah, no, these primitive people, what were they doing with doll heads?
Must have been an ancient religion or something.
No, it was just freaked out over dolls, period.
That's so funny. Oh, the things we do as kids, yeah, it's great. Yeah, I mean, and it's so funny, too, when you go back and you watch these things, you're like, man, that's what scared me. I don't know if that's just because we've gotten jaded over time or we've seen so much other crazy horror movies nowadays. And, of course, video games, too. When Resident Evil came out, and even before that, Castlevania scared me, and
Resident Evil 2 scared me so bad. I didn't go to bed till like 4 o'clock one night. It scared me so bad.
I remember those days, man. Speaking of Resident Evil 2, I remember when Leon gets into the police station and he walks in on one of the cops who's like slowly turning into a zombie. I remember that scene terrifying me. And then the scene in the first movie where Jill gets eaten by the snake, like if you die to the snake boss.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, I kept thinking there was a snake under my bed. Oh, it was terrifying.
That's scary.
Now you look at it now, you're like, man, what's that polygon trying to do attacking me?
What's that triangle hitting that other triangle?
Oh, you know, one last thing I'll say, we could talk about our movie in a sec, is I saw a meme the other day, and it was a meme of an old video game graphic, and it was, the caption said, graphics will never look better than this. And it was a blocky version of Stone Cold. Just like that. Like from WrestleMania 2000 or something. I was like, I remember saying that.
Oh, man.
But I digress. So, Hoser, have you ever been to a drive-thru? Is that drive-thru. Listen to me. Drive-in. Excuse me.
Dude, I live at the drive-thru.
Me too.
You know, I remember seeing drive-ins as a kid, but I never went to one, and now they're kind of the thing of the past.
Yeah, yeah. It's not something you see very often. I know in New Jersey, there was a couple in Gloucester, and I remember specifically when we were little, my parents were like, all right, we're going to a drive-thru, or drive, jeez, I did it again, drive-in, and I thought it was a drive-thru. And we ended up going, and my mom had popcorn for us, and we ended up watching Honey, I Blew Up the Kids from like 92 or 93, I forget what it was, but we watched that in a drive-thru, or dang it, drive-in, and man, I just remember there were a bunch of different cars there. I remember my sister and I were really hot, so it must have been like late summer or something. But yeah, we sat there and watched that movie. And there's in Knoxville, there's a pizzeria that used to have like a projector that they had a giant projector screen, and we would watch Christmas movies there because they had like a little drive-thru set up there. That was a lot of fun. But I think they took it down for COVID last year because we drove all the way out there and we were going to watch A Christmas Story, which is like one of the first things we do for Christmas break, and they said that it was no longer available. So,
aw, boo.
Yeah, it was pretty sad because I really enjoyed that. We did that for like 3 years straight. But I love drive-ins. I love them so much. I hope they come back. I wish I had seen movies like this in a drive-in back in the day. So,
oh, I know. Me too. Like, I'm really jealous of my wife. She got to go to the drive-in that they had here in Haywood County, and got to see the last movie that they showed at it. You know what it was?
What's that?
The original Jurassic Park, the first one.
Oh, man, that would be a good one to see in a drive-in.
That would be a stinking great one to watch, with all the dinosaurs, like big, huge dinosaurs and everything.
Yeah, just imagine if you had like a really good car stereo, just hearing that while sitting on the big screen. Oh,
Jurassic Park was such a good movie, but I digress.
Well, you know, it's kind of a scary theme, you know?
I consider it a drive-in movie just because my wife saw it at a drive-in. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was a drive-in movie. There you go. Yeah, so Hoser, I guess before we talk about the main feature, I need to apologize to you. I did not get to watch anything else except for the movie we were going to.
Oh, you're cool, man.
So I was, because I was so intrigued by the title, was Choplifter? No.
Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall. That was the one I was going to talk about. Because it looked like it was a killer robot that goes nuts in a mall, right?
It's three killer robots.
Oh, man.
It's a three-story mall, and there's a robot on each floor. And they have to get to, like, I think they're trying to get to the third floor to get out to a parking garage. And they're on the first floor, and, like, the robots start teaming up on them. Oh, it's such a good movie. If you are a fan, it's not like a horrible, scary movie either. Like, there's some real good moments of suspense and tension in that movie. Watch Chopping Mall. It's the whole premise is this mall in the 1980s, you know, calls it has to take place in the 80s, is having a problem with criminals and vandals, you know, terrorizing the shops. So they go to this scientific firm to create the ultimate security guard, and they create these three robots. And it just goes out of control from there. There's a lightning storm, and it scrambles the robot's programming, and they think everybody is a criminal instead of, you know, like a shopper or a mall employee, and they just start killing people.
Wow. Sounds good.
It's good. It's really good. It's like Short Circuit, but with killing.
Need more input. Need more people.
Oh, there's no more input. They strangle people and shoot them and set them on fire and everything.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Ah.
They've got lasers that melt people's heads, which is kind of cool. They use that in one shot. And I'm like, what?
What?
The robot had a laser!
Lasers attached to their heads. and the other one was Zombie Nation. Now, I have seen Zombie Nation.
Oh.
And the cover of them, now, this isn't an 80s one. This one was like 2000 or 2001. And
that
the cover of it,
movie.
Oh, it's awful. It is awful. The cover of it looks legitimately scary, but then you go to put the DVD in, and it was terrible. It was basically, you could tell it was a low-budget film, and they did most of the police station was basically like this abandoned warehouse, so, you know, you could tell they didn't have a lot of money here. But basically, it was a zombie story, And you find out at the end of the movie that the zombies, they could have easily have survived on cheeseburgers. And as a matter of fact, that's what they end up doing. They start serving the zombies cheeseburgers, and that stops them from eating people. That's it.
It's not the first time a hamburger saved the day. I mean,
that's true. That's true. I appreciate a good Whopper. But yeah, so those are my two picks. I was going to do Chopping Mall and then Zombie Nation. Chopping Mall sounds like it might actually be pretty good.
You should watch Chopping Mall.
I need
you
to watch it.
You should watch it. It's good. It's worth watching. The end of it's great. There's sacrifices. There's love. It's got a little bit of everything.
It's got a little bit of everything.
Nerds.
Nerds!
Lots of nerds. Don't get dropped off of buildings by ogre. He just killed that kid.
I know. You ever watch that scene, guys? Go watch Revenge of the Nerds. Ogre murdered somebody. I'm sorry. That person did not live that fall or survive it.
They are dead. They are not in any of the scenes.
No, they're not. Amen. So, Hoser, what were your two honorary picks before we get to our main feature?
My two honorary mentions. First one was Flesh-Eating Mothers. And it's as crazy as it sounds. So the premise, and I don't want to give the whole story away. The premise is there's this neighborhood, you know, normal suburban, teenage kids, whatnot. One of the kid's dads, he kind of gets around with all the other moms. Well, he doesn't know, but he's carrying a STD. And the STD infects the women, and it turns them into zombies, basically. Like ravenous, eat people zombies. And they terrorize the town, and there's some kind of like formal cotillion, and the moms come in and they just start like eating people left and right, and like pushing them down. And apparently the virus makes them grow claws and fangs and have face that look like they've got a rubber mask on perpetually. But it's so bad that it's good. You know, there's a doctor. There's a doctor and a nurse who tried to warn everyone about this, but the chief of police was in on it, and his wife was one of the first zombies, and to avoid it getting out, he, like, killed her and buried her in the woods. But when they go into the woods to find her grave, the pieces are still alive and, like, biting and clawing at them. So, yeah, it's insane. There's, you know, the good nurse who tried to tell everybody, and the good nurse is like your typical 80s, blonde-haired, kind of an airhead, but she tried to tell everybody that there was a virus going around. Really good. Check it out. I love it. I give it, you know, if I had a star rating out of 10 stars, I'd probably give it a 7 or 8. It's worth
wow.
Watch. That's good. My other one I had a tie for. And I think I'm going to go with one that me and my wife have watched. And it was on YouTube. We watched it on YouTube. It's free on YouTube. And it's called The Children. And it's about there's a nuclear power plant in the town. And one of the reactors goes crazy. And they just vent the radioactive water and gas. They vent the water out of the plant into, like, the stream. There's a busload of kids coming back from a field trip. And somehow one of them gets infected and he infects the other. And the bus driver's not paying attention. The kids, like, kill the bus driver. And then they go out through the town just, like, killing and eating people and infecting them with the radioactive virus.
Wow.
And it's one of the, I want to say it's one of the first movies that Troma put out. And if you know who Troma is the production and movie studio that did Toxic Avenger. I'm trying to think what other ones they did. They did Toxic Avenger, Sergeant Kabuki Man. He's a Kabuki fighting cop. He's a Kabuki artist who's a cop, which sounds insane, but I would love to watch it.
Sounds great.
But they did a bunch of just like really crazy B-movies that are like kind of cult favorites. But it was one of the first movies they did, and it's really good. I mean, if you want to see a little girl get shot 3 times with a shotgun and get up, and she gets up and she goes, "I want a hug. Hug me."
Ooh.
That's the movie for
you. Oh, man, I can't watch that. It's too scary.
It's kind of in black. If I remember correctly, I think it's in black and white. And the only way you can tell that the kids are infected is their fingernails are black.
Well, if it's in black and white, man, that bumps it up a notch.
So they were looking at all the kids' fingernails, and if they had black fingernails, they had to, like, take them and kill them. Or try to kill them. But you couldn't kill them because of the radioactivity. It made them to where they couldn't die.
And this one got the kids like, oh, no! No, I swear, it's just pain!
He's like, no, man, it's just a phase. I'm sorry. I got my nail polish at Hot Topic stuff.
Oh, wow. Well, that was called The Children, and then the other one was...
Flesh-eating mothers.
Flesh-eating mothers. So there you have it, guys. There's four movies for you to watch. Four gems, if you will. Chopping Mall, Zombie Nation, Flesh-eating Mothers, and The Children. So there you go. I've not seen the two you mentioned, so it sounds really good.
Yeah, man. I remember me and you watched Zombie Nation together, and we looked at each other and were like, this is the stupidest movie ever made. It's dumb.
It's up there, man. To this day, I've not seen a worse movie. So,
and our buddy Kevin's just like, yeah, I told you it was bad.
All right, guys. So I guess our main feature, like we said at the top of the show, is Slumber Party Massacre 2, which, first of all, I found out that wasn't supposed to be the original title. It was supposed to be Don't Let Go. But I think Slumber Massacre Party was such a success, they thought they'd have a better time selling the film with the sequel title attached to it.
If you've watched the first Slumber Party Massacre, and I'll just do a quick synopsis of that. If you watch the first one, you'll watch this one and be like, what in the actual crap does this have to do with the first one? Because the first one starts out, there's a radio report going on people's cars about an escaped convict from death row who may be mentally unstable. You know, if you see him, call the police, call the authorities, and stay away from him or he'll kill you. Well, the dude finds a lady who is a telephone repair lady, and she's got one of those big industrial drills that you can drill through concrete with. And he gets in the back of her truck, and when she gets in, you see his hand, like, go over her mouth, and then you hear the drill, and then you just see, like, blood splatter all over the front windshield from the outside of the car. And then he goes into a high school, and he starts, like, killing all these girls that are having basketball practice, like, in the locker room. There's a really good locker room scene where it's like real steamy, and the girl is like on the floor trying to get away from him, but you can hear the drill going ring, 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 ring. And she hides in a locker, and he kind of catches onto it, and he starts drilling all those lockers.
Mr. Pop,
attention. Anyone hearing this? We interrupt this regularly scheduled program to let you know that Landon was attacked by flesh-eating zombies. Although we lost some of the content regarding Slumber Party Massacre 1, we were able to record a week later. Now on to Slumber Party Massacre 2. Oh, and Landon's okay.
I love the jammer to the floor, let these wise spots roar. I'm an inch off the ground, with speakers all around, baby. Baby, do you like my sound? Let's buzz. Let's buzz. I got a rather large amount in a Swiss bank account.
You are listening to Hoser Vision on TRJ. We're sorry.
All right, guys. So this is take two because Landon and I, we actually talked about Slumber Party Massacre 2 before. But for whatever reason, we had a technical glitch and we lost Landon. So you heard my rattling on and rambling on, but you couldn't hear Landon. So you couldn't hear the good stuff.
You could have just filled in the blanks with like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, what did...
It's like, yes, I totally agree with that. And the person listening will be like, yeah, I do like nachos. That is a good point, right?
That is a great point. Yeah, yeah. You know what I should have done is cut bits and pieces of your dialogue from the previous episodes. Yes, Rob, I think that is a good point.
It's like on The Simpsons when Milhouse was Fallout Boy.
Right.
And they use like totally different scenes and they're like, we can just fill it in with what we've already got.
We got some filler.
He's like, we're in trouble, aren't we, Fallout Boy? And it's like him, they're like tied up and then it goes to Milhouse standing in a field and he goes, yes.
Hear that or chop up Mr. Burns stuff. Hello, Smithers. You are quite good
at turning me on. Just forget you saw that.
You might want to ignore that.
You do a really good Smithers.
Oh, thank you. So, so this movie, okay, and I'm not sure if we talked about it. See, there's like a week gap between what you just heard and what we're recording right now. I don't know if we talked about it yet, but what were your first impressions when you saw this movie? Like, say you've already finished it for the first time. What did you think?
I thought that it was very kind of disjointed, you know. Mm-hmm. It had a thought, but it wasn't really coherent getting it across to the audience, I felt like.
Oh, I completely agree. Like, I think this, after I saw it for the first time, I've really thought the last 30 minutes were really actually kind of entertaining, you know, a little weird, some of the kills, but the killer with the guitar, the driller killer,
yeah,
he was so good.
Oh, he was entertaining,
goodness. Extremely entertaining. Like, he looked super comfortable doing that, and I was doing a little trivia on him, and apparently Atanas Ilitch, mm-hmm. He was the first person to audition for the part, and the director, Deborah Brock, she loved him right away, but you know, she'd already made a commitment to hear everybody else out, and so she goes through all the people auditioning for the part, and then she went right back to her first pick, which was Atanas, and man, she nailed that pick because he was so good.
His enthusiasm is what really comes through. Like, he really, I guess the term is like, he hams it up playing this guy.
Yeah, like, he knows what kind of movie this is.
Yeah, he knows it's not like out for Academy Awards or anything like that. It's a slasher film, basically, with music.
Yeah, with a single called Don't Let Go, which was actually supposed to be the title of this movie. So Slumber Party Massacre 2, Landon, you did a fantastic job summarizing the first one.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And by the way, I did a little research on the first one, and the first one was actually a pretty good commercial success.
Yeah.
It made some money, and this one wasn't as successful, but I looked at the budget. It had a $500,000 budget, which is slightly more than the first movie back in 1983 when the first one came out. But this movie in 1987 did gross $1.3 million in the box office, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was double their budget.
Yeah, doubled their budget. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for this kind of movie, yeah, I mean, for sure. So, Landon, if you wouldn't mind, could you summarize just the general plot of this movie, if you can?
Sure.
I know, like you said, it's definitely disjointed.
So, you know, we start out with Courtney, and she's kind of, you know, in her bedroom. She's having these weird dreams, and you eventually find out through the dreams that she is the younger sister to the girl who survived in Slumber Party Massacre 1. And, you know, through some exposition, you find out that sister's been hauled off to the loony bin, that she, you know, after she killed the first driller killer, that she kind of had a breakdown, and that she's been in a mental hospital ever since. And it's Courtney's, you know, birthday weekend, and her mom's wanting her to go visit her sister on her birthday, and or on Courtney's birthday. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking, that's a weird birthday to go see your sister in the mental hospital, but okay, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know if they were going to bring a cake and all celebrate together. I don't know.
Maybe they were going to bring a cake with a file in it and break her out. I don't know.
But... Oh, yeah. Definitely the mother. She's definitely shady in this one.
Oh, yeah. She's the shadiest character. Even though she's on the screen for all the 5 minutes.
Yeah, she was so sweet, too. And she's like, I don't know about this, Courtney. You know, I don't know about you going out to this this retreat with your band members. You know, she was like, you know, the mother she reminded me of was the mother from The Karate Kid a little bit.
Yeah, kind of.
A little bit.
I kind of thought that a little bit, too. I'm like, oh, that's Daniel LaRusso's mom. A little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, Courtney just assures her, everything's going to be fine. We're just going up there to practice our music and, you know, and hang out. And it's in a condo development that's being built. So they're the, I forget which girl it is. It's, I called her the rich girl. I think I wrote her down as the rich girl.
Yes. Was it the girl that had the blonde hair?
Yeah. It was the blonde that wasn't the drummer.
Wait, didn't that blonde girl make it to the end? Wasn't she like the... And then Courtney Bates let her go. Was she the one I'm thinking of?
I think the best friend made it to the end, and then she's the one that fell and kind of...
Oh, okay, that's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, because he was going to use the drill guitar on her, and she fell. But yeah, so, you know, the best friend comes by, and they all get in the car, and, you know, we have all these... silly singing montages. You know, the girls are going away for the weekend, and that means that the boys are coming, so.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, here's where this movie immediately tripped me up. There's a couple things, for sure. Okay, so first of all, the movie opens up with Courtney sleeping, and you feel like such a creeper, because it's a long scene of them just showing, like, shots of her sleeping on a bed. And then finally you find out, okay, she's dreaming about this boy she likes. And Landon, didn't they spend so much time building this, like, crush up with him?
Yes, like, they do all this, and you're like, oh, okay, so it's going to be one of those where she loves the guy, she falls in love with him, and then he ends up being the killer or something like that. But
yeah, for sure. Like, I thought that guy was going to be the killer. And, you know, they show these dream sequences, and the guy looks perfect in the scenes.
Yeah, it's Rob Lowe's little brother.
Yeah, you were telling me, which I totally see it now, but I didn't piece that together earlier.
Yeah, Patrick Lowe.
Yeah. So anyways, the girl's having dreams of him, and she's nuts about him. But she's also kind of traumatized. And the weird thing is, as she's walking to school one day, you know, after she talks to her mom, she runs into a dead pigeon, which I found out, or dead dove, which I found out was actually real. They used real dead pigeons.
I'm laughing because every time I think of that, I think of that picture you sent. It's just that dead dove, and it goes, they killed it!
You killed it! so that was strange. And really, that goes nowhere. Like, who did that?
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's a vision, because the lady, the best friend, remember, she pulls up, and she goes, what were you doing? She's like, I was staring at a dead bird. And she goes, you're so weird.
Yeah, I know. And it's just like, okay, that's... a weird conversation to be having in a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the girls, you know, believe it or not, the band, a couple things I really thought were cool about this is the songs that they played, the girls actually tried to learn how to play the instruments. So you see a lot of movies and you can tell the actors they're not really playing any actual chords. Well, in this movie, they're trying. I mean, it looks like they are actually playing chords, and they're playing the instruments, bass guitar, electric guitar. And I saw an interview. There's a great 20 years later video on YouTube of this movie. And the girl who played the drummer, she talks about how much she had to practice because she'd never played drums before this part. And she's like, you know what? I got really into it. And she still drummed to this day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool. And a lot of the actors, they came back for that video. So if you find it, just search up Google or search up in YouTube, Slumber Party Massacre 2, 20 years later. And there's a good like half hour documentary on it. And Deborah Brock, she comes back to talk about the movie and some of the setbacks. She talks about how she sold the guitar to like a horror movie enthusiast for a lot of money on eBay.
I'd love to see that. That thing was cool.
Oh, man, it sure was. It sure was. I mean, it's so out of... such a wacky weapon, but it's somehow it works in this movie for me.
It fits the theme really well, doesn't it?
For sure. So, okay, then we get to the big scene, which I did not see coming, which, stupid me, if I just looked at the cover, I should have known. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I said so. This movie came out in October of 1987.
Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween time. Yeah, in select theaters, obviously. And about 20 minutes into the movie, so they're there at this condo, and they start drinking. And that's... the funny thing is they're watching, like, just this black and white TV show, and they're like, oh, that's my song! And they just start dancing and drinking, and... partying, and you can see where this is going, so I won't even describe it. It happened so fast, I was like, wow, that escalated.
Yeah, I mean, they went from 0 to 60, like, snap of a finger. They're from, like, watching the Munsters to getting down and partying and just having a good old time.
which I didn't see coming, so I felt horrible. I was like, oh, gosh. And then I tried to skip it, and then it froze on the website I was watching it at. So as they're doing all this, the creeper boyfriends, they show up, and they're looking through the windows and going, check this out.
Yeah, they were a bunch of
creepers.
I felt kind of pervy with them. I'm like, man, these guys aren't boyfriends. They're perverts.
Yeah, well, especially the dark, like, the blonde guy didn't seem as bad as the dark-haired guy.
Yeah.
The dark-haired guy kind of reminded me of Butthead.
They were kind of like Beavis and Butthead.
A little bit, yeah. So, after that, I'm flicking through here. So, we're still getting visions.
Yeah.
This poor Courtney, she's still getting these visions of not only her sister in the mental hospital, but of this crazy guitar guy. Now, this guy wasn't in the first film, so it's weird that she's getting visions of him.
It is, and I read some behind-the-scenes thing, and apparently there was going to be a backstory where the spirit of the original Driller Killer refused to die, and it possessed this guy who was a up-and-coming rock and roll star, and it possessed him, and they had some scenes shot where, you know, he was playing concerts, and then he would take girls back to the backstage, and then he would kill them. He would drill kill them.
Oh, jeez.
But they cut that out because of runtime or budget or something, but I kind of felt like they should have left that in there because it would give us more explanation as to why this guy's now the Driller Killer and kind of taking on his mannerisms.
Yeah, and they may cut some of the boyfriend stuff at the beginning because it...
Yeah, they could have cut that and put, like, the backstory of the Driller Killer in, I feel like, and it would have made a lot more sense as a movie.
Because, yeah, you're right, because he's the first one to get it, I think, right? The boyfriend?
Yeah, he's the first one to get it, and you don't see that coming at all.
No, I'm like, so he doesn't even show up the first day, I don't think. He shows up, like, the second day. Courtney's already having these horrible visions. Like, one of them was the hand sandwich. You remember that one?
I remember the hand sandwich, yep.
Yep, and it's got a bunch of barbecue sauce on it. It looks like blood, and she's freaking out. But I think even before that, or maybe it was after that, and now this I thought was really cool. Oh, something was going on with the garbage disposal, and she kept okay, I remember.
Something got stuck in it, didn't it?
Yeah, something got stuck in the garbage disposal. And you hear that run in the background, and also, this was a great scene. Whoever did the special effects in this movie, I thought did a really great job, especially for the budget they had. But the drummer, I cannot remember her name. Let me look real fast.
Sally? Sally was the drummer, wasn't
she? Okay, perfect. Sally, okay. Sally, she's talking about, she's like, you know, I know how you feel, Courtney. Look, I'm having a hard time, too. I've got this pimple on my face. And Courtney Bates, like, she's looking at her, and as she's saying this, you see every cut, the pimple's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally, it blows up, the pus sprays all over Courtney Bates, even gets in her mouth, which is disgusting.
Oh, dude, that's so gross.
Oh, yeah, and then shortly after that, the drummer girl goes missing. So Courtney's like, where's she at, and then she has this horrible vision of her. I don't remember. Like, she got, Courtney thinks that because Sally's been gone for so long that maybe she's been ground up in the garbage disposal. Is that what happened? I can't remember.
I think that's what it was, or like that she had, that the Driller Killer had killed her and ground her up somehow.
Right. So she's freaking out. Finally, all of the friends and the boyfriends, they're all like, okay, let's call the cops. Let's see what's going on here. And I like this part. So they call the cops. Cops show up, and finally the drummer, Sally, she comes back in as the cops are there. She's like, "Oh yeah, I saw this boy at this convenience store, and like we totally are gonna like hook up or whatever she says."
Yeah.
And the cops are like, "Seriously, you just wasted our time," and they think that Courtney's on drugs, and they basically threaten her. They say, "Don't you ever call us again because we are not coming out here. We're not wasting our time again." Which pays off later on, so I got to give them kudos.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, that was a good bit of writing because, you know, normally in these movies, you know, they call the cops one time and then some big tragic event happens and the cops go back to check on the kids and then they run into the killer, which more bodies for the killer. But This one, I liked that little twist that they put with the police in this one. It's like, yeah, the police aren't coming to help you now.
Yeah, and they were Kruger and Voorhees, which I thought was a nice...
I love that, yes.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me of... There's a great scene in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You think that the police officer is the one good guy that helps the poor girl. And because you see him early on in the film, and he's like, if you ever need anything, please just let me know. And he seems like a very normal guy. So finally, like halfway through the film, you find out that he's actually in on all the horrible murders that are happening. So,
oh, such
like
a good movie, too.
Oh, I can't watch it, man. That's a hard one to watch.
It's a hard one to watch. Even the remakes are kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, that was her one lifeline, and it's gone. So you feel completely and utterly alone. And that's how these girls feel at the end when they try to call again, when the killer really is there. Now, about that, let's talk about the boyfriend scene. So, you know, she's finally, like, kissing him and stuff. And, you know, he seems actually like a genuinely good guy, which I was shocked.
Yeah, he wasn't like a creepo or anything like a lot of the boyfriends are in a lot of these movies.
Yeah, for sure. So, once again, you think it's a vision, but this time it's actually real because Courtney goes, I know you're not real, you're just a vision, because she sees the guy. She sees the thriller killer.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you think that's a vision, huh? And then I can't remember how he killed the poor boyfriend, but oof.
Was he the one that, like, he goes through the hand first and then he, like, kills him? I know there's one where he goes through the hand.
Yeah, I think so.
And that was, like, really cool. I'm like, oh, that's cool because, you know, your first instinct is to throw your hands up to try to block it, but with the drill, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, that's rough. You know, he's the first one to get it, so that kind of starts everything.
Like, before the scene, you know, where she's having the hallucinations before the killer kills the boyfriend, she's taking a bath, and it's one of those deals where, like,
oh, yeah.
The bathtub, like, the water eventually turns to blood, and she can't turn it off, and, like, it just floods everything.
Yeah, that was a good visual too.
That was
awesome.
Good. Like, the special effects in this are really good. You know, the headless chicken, the...
Oh, I forgot about the chicken, yeah.
Yeah, the chicken. How could you forget the chicken? The headless chicken, the bathtub full of blood. I mean, the special effects aren't bad in this one.
Yeah, that was another scene. So, poor Courtney, she hears something rattling in the fridge, so she opens it. A headless chicken attacks her, and then this blood oozes out. But it could have been barbecue sauce.
Yeah, it could have been barbecue sauce. I mean, that's what chickens are full of. That's why they go so good together, chicken and barbecue.
You know, exactly.
Sorry, I had to do my Bob Saget friendly home video laugh. You do that too well.
So what else happened after that, Jose? Because poor Sally, now, bless her heart, she has kind of the slowest death because she's just kind of like...
Yeah, she gets kind of cornered, doesn't she? Like, between the wall and the stairs somehow.
Yeah. And then finally she gets it. Amy was the best friend, and Sheila was the redhead, I think. The boyfriends of Amy and Sheila and Courtney, they try to get in the car? Is that what happened? I cannot remember.
I think it is. I think the boyfriends try to get in the car with the two of them, and the car breaks down, like, going out of the condo development, and, like, they're like, all right, well, let's split up. You two go, you know, see if you can find those officers, and you two... you know, try to get help. And this is a cool scene, too, because they finally find a home with people in it in that condo development. And they're banging on the doors, and they're asking for help, and they're asking for help. And the killer shows up, and he kills them on these people's doorstep. And finally, after he's done killing them, the guy comes out, and he looks around, and he, you know, says, crazy kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they credit him in the credits. They credit him, and you can totally take this out. Mr. Kids is what they credit him as.
That's perfect, though.
But that's, he comes out and he looks and he doesn't see him and they're laying dead, you know, down off of his little porch there.
Yeah, the redheaded girl.
Yeah.
And did the butthead, the her boyfriend, the redheaded girl's boyfriend, the kind of creepy guy?
Yeah.
Did he die then, too?
I think he died, too, because he got both of them. Like, they were, like, standing there with each other and I want to say he went through one and then went through the other at the same time it and got both of them.
Two for one deal, eh?
Two for one, yep.
Oof, gosh.
The driller killer in this is, like, really good at his job.
Yes, for sure, man. For sure. And gosh, when he busts into... So this is the funny thing. So they get in the car, right? And then they drive back to the house.
Yeah, they go back to the house. because they're like, well, maybe he's already, like, left looking for us, you know, because he heard the car, and they go back, and he's there, and he kills both of them.
Then he goes into the, oh, man, like, 2 or 3 minute, like, single. It's almost like a music video. And,
yeah.
And I'm so sorry. I was saying it earlier, and I got sidetracked. Earlier on, with all the music, there was a band. There was, like, an alternative or slash punk rock band, a women's band that was actually in the 20 years later documentary. They were like, oh man, thanks to this movie, a lot of people found our music because they used a lot of the songs and their singles for this movie. And I forget the name of the band. It was something Wednesday. Shoot, I can't find it. But yeah, it was something Wednesday, and they were a pretty good band from what I've heard. So yeah, they used a lot of their music in this movie. But yeah, man, can you even try to describe this scene, the single Don't Let Go, as he's chasing Courtney and Amy?
It's like you said, it's like he's doing a music video.
That's so good. And
he's playing the, like, drill guitar, like a real guitar, too, and singing at her. And
Oh, yeah. And I wonder, Tanis Ilitch, I wonder if he was actually a performer. Something's telling me he was.
He had to have been. He was really good.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think he probably made the movie. I mean, just that and the weapon itself are just so iconic with just that time. Just a wacky time.
It does. It kind of fits that hair metal time.
It really does. It really does. And Buddy, he is just dancing around the guitar, chasing them. The poor girls are screaming their heads off, which makes it even more, like, psychotic, but somehow.
And what's crazy is, like, no matter how much they run, like, he's always just a step behind them, even while he's, you know, doing his dance and song number.
Yeah. He doesn't seem afraid at all of getting killed. He's just nuts. But boy, he's a heck of a performer.
He can put on a show. I mean, I'd go watch him if I wouldn't get killed.
Yeah, me too. I'd go see him. You know, as long as he's not using that drill on me.
Hey, man, you do you, buddy. Keep playing that music.
Keep playing that music. I don't care about your personal life, man. It's all about the music.
That's right. We don't care how many people you kill. It's all about the music.
So finally, I forget, I think Courtney and Amy, they lure the killer outside, right? Do they, like, hop on the roof or something? And I can't remember how they get out there.
They go to one of the condos that's being constructed.
Oh,
and
that's right.
And it's just kind of like the frame of the home, just bare bones. You know, they've got concrete slabs and studs poured up. And they're running away from him. And I think, don't they try to jump from, like, one unfinished floor to another?
Yeah.
And that's where Amy kind of gets stuck, and she's trying to climb up the floor there, and then Driller Killer shows up, and he's getting ready to drill her, and she just falls.
Yeah, remember, she even says, don't let go, don't let go. And I think that
they
had said that earlier in the movie, and of course, the single's called Don't Let Go. So finally, poor Courtney has to, I can't remember if the Driller Killer hits her or if she just lost her grip, but poor Amy falls to her death, which is awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad for, it's like a realistic death too. Like, she falls, she doesn't splatter or anything, but, like, blood just kind of runs out of her nose and out of her eyes and mouth. And
Amy seemed like the most normal one out of all of them. The best friend.
Yeah.
The redhead was a little nuts.
Yeah.
And the drummer was really, she was likable. She was really kind of like your surfer girl, you know. She was really likable. And I'm trying to remember how Courtney sets the killer on fire. I cannot remember.
She gets a torch, like a blowtorch that's in one of the construction toolbox.
Yeah, and that's what does it, right? Doesn't she light him on fire? Then
she lights his face on fire, and he's, like, still singing and dancing and, like, trying to put the flames out, and then he falls off, like, the third story of this big home, and he's, like, burning, laying there.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how it ends, right? Doesn't she get maybe with, like, another vision? Oh, that's right.
It ends because, like, after she sets him on fire, it kind of goes hazy, and you see that she's been in the loony bin.
The loony bin. That's where I'm going to take you, eh?
No way. Take me to
the
brewery.
No, you're not
take
going
me
there.
To the brewery.
I'm taking you to the loony bin.
No, take
you're
me to
next.
The brewery. No way.
You're going to room next to Courtney, eh? And,
no,
and her sister.
No way.
So, overall, man, going back and thinking about this movie, I actually kind of had a good time. It was not that bad.
It's what a drive-in movie's supposed to be, man. It's not supposed to be serious cinema or portray, like, this profound, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to change the way I think about this or that. It's like, hey, here's 75 minutes of a dude with a guitar with a huge drill sticking out of it killing all these punk kids.
Exactly. Who had it coming?
Yeah. I mean, they were they were breaking the slasher movie rules, so you know they were going to have, you know, get killed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Landon, I got to ask you the big question here.
Yeah.
Do you still have the death toll pulled up?
I do.
Oh, you were the man. You were the man.
So our buddy, you know, if you go to Joe Bob Briggs, if you're a big fan of Joe Bob Briggs like we are, he's got a website, joebobbriggs.com. And he's got this movie. One of his staff writers reviewed this movie, and they did the drive-in totals. So without any further ado, here are your drive-in totals for Slumber Party Massacre 2. We have 9 dead bodies, 1 dead pigeon, 1 chicken attack, severed hand sandwich, bloody mattress, giant exploding zit, blood-spewing bathtub faucet, severed arm cake, drill through the chest, multiple homicidal drill penetrations, swimming pool horseplay, flaming rockabilly predator, gratuitous Tokyo convertible duet, gratuitous rock and roll high school footage, knife trick foo, and torch foo.
And there you have it. I forgot about the severed arm cake. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The boyfriend, right?
Yeah, I think it was the boyfriend. That was when Courtney was starting to really go off the rails.
Yes, yeah.
And you couldn't figure out what was real and what was fake that whole time.
Yeah, that was a little disorienting because, you know, you're thinking, oh, vision. And finally she says, you're just a vision. He's like, No, I'm not.
And then
boyfriend's dead.
They proceed to do what, you know, young kids in love tend to do. And then everybody's favorite killer shows up. I guess he is kind of a rockabilly. That's a good way to describe him. He's a rockabilly killer.
Yeah, it wasn't really like a metal, even though the guitar looks like a metal guitar, but it was more like a rockabilly kind of style of music.
Like, you know, he had the white t-shirt and the leather jacket, and
mm-hmm.
like the leather pants and the biker boots on and everything.
Yeah, and he was doing like the rockabilly, like shimmy and stuff.
He had the pompadour, like the big hair. And
he did. And the leather jacket.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
loved his mom.
Right. And I'll tell you what, I wish Atanas was in other movies like this. I don't know if he did a lot of other films, especially in this genre, after this. And a lot of the actresses that were in this didn't really go on to do many more, although I had it pulled up. Although some of them... Okay, here it is. Juliet Cummins, who played Sheila, and Heidi Kozak-Hated, who played Sally, are both alumni of the Friday the 13th series. Juliet had previously played Robin in Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. That's part 5, eh? Remember, Jason was an impersonator in that one.
Yeah, that was kind of the fake one.
And then Heidi would go on to play Sandra in Friday the 13th, part 7, The New Blood. Ooh, so that was like a year after this movie. I love The New Blood. Have you ever seen that one?
Is that the one with the little girl that has the psychic powers?
Yes.
Like, Jason pretty much can't do anything to her every time he tries to do something. Like, she just kind of blocks him.
Yes, that was the first Friday the 13th movie I ever watched. And Jason looks so scary in that one.
They did a good job with him. I thought that one was cool because that little girl just, like, absolutely beats the crap out of him.
I know.
And she's not even doing anything. She's just standing there staring at him, and he's like, huh?
What was that noise? Yeah, like when she's shrinking or tightening the mask on him, and finally it snaps off, and you see Jason's face, and he looks more like a monster than a human being.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. But yeah, so apparently Sandra, I'm trying to remember who that was in that. It's been so long since I've seen that movie, but...
She wasn't the sleeping bat girl, was she?
She could have been. I don't remember her. Yeah. Ooh, that wasn't that one, wasn't it? Oof.
That was a sleeping bag. That's like the most iconic, I believe, of his kills.
Oh, man. Sleeping bag against a tree. Oof. What a way to go. But yeah, Jose, so would you recommend this movie for, you know, horror movie fans or just fans in general? Because this was your pick.
Yeah, I would recommend this, like, if you're just wanting a movie to sit down, like you've had a bad day at work and you're kind of wanting to watch something cheesy that's not real serious. This is a good, entertaining movie, I feel, for that.
I agree.
It's not going to be like, oh my gosh, this is one of my best horror/slasher movies ever made,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's like, yeah, this is pretty good. This is serviceable, and it's not that long. It's only like an hour and 15 minutes. So.
I know. Really, really short.
you know, you can do it as a double feature with another, you know, better movie one night if you're having a scary movie night. So exactly. I would recommend it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's definitely one of those movies that I could be wrong. I don't know if it would fit in today's time period, but right around 1987, buddy, this movie was a perfect portrait of that time period with the genres of movies that were popular then. I mean, we're talking about the height of Jason Mania and all that stuff and the slasher genre. This movie was just a good time. And I think it very much intentionally doesn't take itself seriously. And I think that's what kind of made it fun to watch. And like you said, perfect movie for a drive-in, eh? So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We only paid a couple of bucks to go here to Stan's cemetery drive-in. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. What a weird place for a drive-in.
I know. Awful spooky. Well, you're not eating my corn dog, so give me that
what?
Back, eh?
No way. I want a corn dog.
Get your own, eh?
All right, then. Give me some of your onion rings.
Take off. Well, okay, fine. Now my stomach's going to bother me.
Yeah, you don't want to upset stomach. I mean, corn dog and onion rings, you're going
to... No way. Especially after seeing that hand sandwich, eh? That's a hand sandwich.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. So, Lane and I talked about this last time we had attempted to record this. And first of all, we do have a new email address. It is trjsupershow@gmail.com. Again, that is trjsupershow@gmail.com. You can send us an email if you have any feedback regarding Slumber Party Massacre 2 or any other movies you would recommend. So bad they're good for a horror movie drive-in.
We might do this again at Halloween. This would be fun to do at Halloween.
Oh, I would love it. So this is our first installment of Hoser Vision. I would love to do many, many more, man. That's a great idea. So we would love to hear from you guys. Is there any you recommend? Do you have any feedback regarding this movie? Maybe one you want us to cover around Halloween time. That'd be fun. Also, we're going to be on our next episode talking about just random retro food. Old food commercials, old snacks that are no longer available or have come back after many years of being gone. Old commercials about food. You know what? My buddy James from Excess Gaming Podcast, our buddy, I should say, excuse me. He and I were just talking about some of the glasses that came out in McDonald's that you could get if you paid a couple extra bucks for a value meal or something. And
the Batman? Do you remember the Batman?
I do. I remember the Batman glasses. I remember...
I had that whole set.
Did you?
Yeah, I had that whole set. I remember it was back when my mom was pregnant with my sister, and we were going to the baby doctor, you know, every mm-hmm. couple of weeks, and that was when McDonald's had the, was it Batman Forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had Batman, Robin, Two-Face, and the Riddler.
Oh, awesome.
And eventually, over time, they all got broken somehow.
Oh, that's a bummer. Yeah, I used to have at least one or two of those. And it's a bummer. I had one that my dad had kept in his kitchen drawer for years, and then I don't know what happened. I think we were cleaning out his house after he passed away, and I don't know if we just lost it. I don't remember. But, yeah, I had that thing up until, like, 5 years ago. But, yeah, so anyways, that's another example. Those glasses, the Burger King kids cups that you could get, kids club stuff. There's so many things we could do with this. And I think it would just be fun to go down a rabbit hole on a Winging It episode. And we're going to talk about that next month. So, guys, yay! I'm super excited about that. Guys, we apologize. We were originally going to have this episode air in July. And, of course, with technical difficulties, we couldn't. So I'm going to try to have this out and available to you by the first week in August. And hopefully, Landon and I can record another one this month and have it out either by late August or early September. We definitely, definitely have enjoyed having the show back. We love talking. Just, for me, it's so awesome just to catch up with you, Landon. I mean, that helps my soul. It's good for me. And we have no desire to ever quit this show. So please, please stay subscribed or unsubscribe for a little while. And then when you see new episodes, subscribe again. We'd love
to. Yeah, exactly.
We don't want to lose you. I know we've only got like 10 of you anyway. So,
spread the word so 10 more can find out about us.
Yeah, tell us about your buddies, hey? Tell them we're totally hosers and, you know, don't
we
expect
like
much. We do like people, absolutely. We want to hear from you all. And speaking of that, we also have a hoser hotline. So if you want to call in, which we've not gotten a caller yet, so that's an open challenge to anybody who's listening, eh? If you want to call in with any feedback regarding drive-in movies or food products, old retro food products or drink products, our number is 865-309-4875, and we'll edit your message into the show. And with that, Hosehead, I guess we better get out of this drive-in, eh? It's awful creepy here. It's getting late.
Yeah, it's getting a little late, and I want to get home before the zombies wake up.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, man. Oh, man, do you hear that? I hear a guitar.
Oh, man. And I hear a drill.
Oh, man, we better get out of here, eh? I hear some music. It's rockabilly. I'm getting out of here. All right, so, Hoser, before we go, what type of pizza, but that's Turtletales. How about what type of wings are we going to have to close out another totally tubular episode of the Retro Junkies Super Show?
Oh, how about, and then we could do this in quotation marks, barbecue chicken wings.
Oh, perfect, perfect. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned as next month. We will definitely have another episode out for you talking about good old retro food stuff. And on behalf of Landon and myself, we hope you have a great month. Back to school, kiddos.
Yeah.
Watch some good horror movies. Eat some old food. That's still in date, hopefully. And we'll catch you next time. What's our sign? I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Good day and good gaming, eh?
Maybe. Yeah. That's good. I like that.
We gotta do this more often. I always forget this stuff.
Let's hold it right there. I have just been summoned. I think I've got to carry some dirt.
Oh, yeah, you got to do your thing. I understand that.
Give me a sec, so we'll come back and I'll I'll do my thing.
Okay.
All right.
But we learn how to fly. Well, listeners, while Landon's gone, I'm going to try to think of a funny Landon story. Oh, okay, I got one for you guys. I don't know if I've ever told this one on the show, but Landon is the most jolly guy you'll ever meet. But one time, a good buddy of ours, a mutual friend, he was messing around with Landon at a campsite, and, I was there, a couple other guys were there as well, and he had a paintball gun, and he kept, like, fake aiming it at people, you know, trying to annoy us a little bit, and he aims it at Landon's leg, and he swore that it was empty. There were no paintballs in it. And from point-blank range, he shoots Landon right in the leg, and, I mean, there must have been a paintball stuck in the barrel, whatever it was. And let me just say, Landon, 6'7", most of the time, I say 99.9% of the time, super jolly guy. But when that happened, I saw a side of Landon that I had never seen before, and I have never seen since. So, for the sake of Landon's dignity, I won't say what happened after that, but I'd like to say that the person in our group who remained anonymous has never tried that since again. So there you go, there's a little Landon story for you. Yeah, like, you really suck, McBain.
Yeah. I love the where he's like,
"Have you ever noticed how men leave the toilet seat up?"
That's the joke.
Babu, you suck, McBain. Then he like throws a grenade at one.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, "And now I'm going to do my Woody Allen impression."
Boo, that really sucked, McBain.
And he like jerks out a machine gun and just starts throwing it down. He's like, "It's 40 minutes of me in front of a brick wall. It cost $80 million.
So what I'm thinking is, like, we could do, like, a wing in it, and instead of going to Stan's, like, wing place, we could go get some wings to go and go to Stan's new drive-in.
Yeah, and he makes you, you know, you can't sneak food in, but we're going to anyway.
Right, exactly. And it's in a cemetery, eh, so it's spooky.
Ooh.
Oh.
He doesn't care about that old Indian burial ground. Next door to the cemetery, he's going to put his drive-in movie theater there.
That's right. It's the prime time for drive-ins.
Yeah, I mean, he got the property dirt cheap.
Hey, no pun intended with the Indian burial ground.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he just had to knock over a few graves. I mean, Walt Whitman. Who cares about Walt Whitman?
Walt Whitman, jeez. hoser.
What a hoser.
All right, man. Well, we've already talked about Hans Moleman, Walt Whitman being a hoser, and McBain.
Yes, I mean, we've had a pretty extensive...
5 minutes? 2 minutes.
Do you know that on Joe Bob's website, he reviewed Slumber Party Massacre 2?
No! Oh, I'd love to watch
that.
Dude,
he didn't do a video of it. Like, he does some written write-ups of movies that he's watched.
Oh, cool. So, what did he have to say about it? I'm curious.
He said that he liked it, but that it was it was very here, there, and everywhere was kind of the overall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a 5 or 6 page movie review of it. Like, he treated it like a legitimate, you know, piece of cinema.
Yeah, which, I mean, it is all over the place. Like, at first, the intro is super slow, and then, like, this super long build up, and then,
Like, his thing was, if they had kept it kind of coherent throughout, it could have been, like, that could have been a franchise, basically, up there with Friday the 13th. And...
Yeah, I'll say, well, again, I'll save it. Because there's a lot I want to say about it, and I'm just going by like one showing of it. But, you know, it's one of those movies that stayed in my mind. Like, and not just because, you know, I tried to skip over the nude scene today, but that wasn't why. I thought the killer was so interesting and so good.
It is.
So good. So
He was kind of like Freddy Krueger in a way, if you think about it.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Kind of wasn't taking himself seriously, but then, you know, he's ramming a drill through a guy's hand.
Right, and he had some killer dance moves, so let's talk about it.
He's a good musician.
No kidding. His technical ability is very impressive. So, moral of the story, don't mess with him. Did you get your workout in there?
Yeah, I hulked everything. You know, where you pick it all up at once.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good, Lori. No, no problem.
Yeah, we got a lot of junk, but... We're searching for treasure.
Hey, look, Terrence. Why don't you bend over and find that treasure?
Oh, okay.
Fuck. My favorite ones is when he would say it while farting. That was the...
Oh, I know. Do you remember, I don't know, if, like, the boys had the Terrence and Phillip pajamas, and I think it was Kyle had the ones that had, like, just their heads and, like, a cloud of gas, and the cloud of gas said, like, poot in it, P-O-O-T, poot.
Yeah.
I told Lola that. I'm like, because she was talking about somebody that had passed gas at her day camp, and I said, was there a little green cloud above their head that said poot? And she laughed. She's like, "Dad, that would be hilarious if that happened." I'm like, "Oh, it did." Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, it did.
Yeah, I just love how Canadians look so much different than Americans.
I know. And Ugly Bob, who looked like everyone else, but he was so ugly.
He was so ugly, Ugly Bob. Why you got so mean to me?
It looks like someone tried to put a fire out on your face with a screwdriver, Ugly Bob.
Oh, gosh.
Why do you guys say such hurtful things to me?
All right. So I'll just kind of, like, edit some spooky effects here. Like, and we'll just kind of, like, pretend we're walking in the cemetery, and this is... Oh, would you mind being Stan?
I'm trying to think, what kind of voice does Stan have?
Remember he had that gravelly voice?
Oh, yeah, Stan, he kind of had this gravelly voice.
Yes. So
I'll take it from here, nurse.
We were talking about that, weren't we?
I remember we were talking about that, and I've been watching that clip all this week because of that. Oh, I'll take it from here, nurse.
He's got scrubs on and everything. And I love Vince too. He's like, get these balloons out of here.
I love when he screams when Austin's just beating his leg. Ah!
there's another great Stone Cold scene where he's fighting Booker T in a grocery store. Buddy, you got to watch that one. It is hilarious.
You know, I heard a podcast where they did like, he admitted that they did like $15,000 worth of damage to that store. They didn't even realize it. Like, they broke a bunch of coolers and all kinds of stuff.
Oh.
And didn't realize it while they were fighting each other.
Wow. Wow, I bet Vince was like, are you kidding me? Oh, that's funny. So,
buried alive!
buried alive match.
My right. Buddy, buried alive match.
Oh, now that'd be a scary match. I wouldn't watch that.
That's too scary for me. I'm turning the channel.
Yeah, no way. I can't watch this. Two dolls fighting. Well, speaking of which, I think they're doing a storyline like that right now with Alexa Bliss. Like, she's got a haunted doll.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a really good heel, too. And they did something with her pupils to make her look demonic. Oh, man, she's really good. I like her. But I digress. So, let me double check if I can find it.
Wednesday Adams?
Wednesday Adams? You expected maybe the Adams family?
No, I wasn't.
Actually, no, I wasn't. That's the furthest thing from my mind where I'm watching the Ninja Turtles.